Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
Should GLP-1 weight loss medication like Wegovy and Zepbound cost thousands of dollars? We don't think so. Try LifeMD.com helps provide insurance access to the leading GLP-1 medications. Visit TryLifeMD.com and check your eligibility for GLP-1 medication with copays as low as $0. Listen to Bridget's story after losing 55 pounds and using her insurance for coverage.
LifeMD helped me get covered with my insurance. Finding out that it was covered was huge. I've lost 55 pounds. I am so much healthier now that I've lost the weight. I would never be able to do it without them.
Get started today and check your eligibility for GLP-1 medication with copays as low as $0 at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
This is Kyle Williams, and you're listening to Roster Watch.
Ladies and gentlemen, citizens of the universe, this is Roster Watch. My name is Alex Dunlap. I'm joined by Cody Carpentier. And Cody, we have a new mock draft. Mel Kiper dropped his new mock draft 2 rounds today on ESPN.com. A lot to get to with it. I certainly have some takeaways here. And the first thing, before we get into any of the picks or any of the players or any of the exercises that we would want to do as it pertains to this mock draft, is just ask you this one question. As I'm looking at this, you know, as people that play fantasy and you know, dynasty and content creators in that space, and with how much we think about it and all this stuff, I had generally thought that we're probably going to come out of the day two of the draft with probably, I don't know, 10, 12, 13 running backs already taken off the board. And that's in keeping with the idea that this is an elite running back class, a legendary running back class, one of the deepest that we can remember, right? Since we've been doing this. As I look at Mel Kiper's mock, not as many going in rounds 1 and 2 as I would have thought. And then if you look at the mock that was dropped by The Athletic on Monday, I believe through round 3 of that mock, they only had, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 through round 3. And I'm just wondering, do you think that that's what's going to happen? And do you think that maybe we have been sort of baking into our projection day two draft capital with too many of these guys, considering the fact that NFL teams are pretty smart people too, and they'll say, there's so many good players, we can wait until day three, we can take these guys in round 4. I don't know if it's necessarily worry that some of these guys that we're projecting with day two draft capital aren't going to get it, but I'm starting to think that maybe we see a running back run come, not there towards the end of round 3 like I was thinking, but maybe in round 4.
Yeah, it's possible. Not what I expected to see, but it's possible given the lump that we're assuming is there. If people view Ashton Gentry, Amari Hampton, Trayvon Henderson, Quinshon Judkins, Caleb Johnson as like the first group of 5 guys that's going to go off the board, technically you could say there's a teardrop down to everybody else from an overall profile standpoint. So if that happens, if the big thing is that like the early part of that second round where it's like the Bears, it's like 39 through like 44, 45, I think it is, where it seems like there could probably be 3 backs go off the board. The balance or imbalance will be how many go in round 1 and how many go in that sector. And then do we get another running back the rest of the second round? And if so, I guess my brain tells me that it's like this number seems low. that it would be only like one other guy in Jaden Blue for the rest of the second and third round.
Yeah.
I feel like somebody's going to look at Scadaboo. Someone's going to look at RJ Harvey, Bashal Tutin's speed. We've heard things about Damian Martinez. There's like, I think there's at least three or four other guys that should be in the conversation for consideration.
Let me also say that, so what we're going to be doing here in a minute is we're going to be taking the team landing spots from Mel Kiper's, this two round mock, and Cody and I are going to be doing a dynasty rookie mock with those landing spots, super flex, tight end premium. And just as an exercise to sort of show that everybody's saying like, oh, I know exactly what to do in a dynasty rookie draft right now, pre landing spots. And just to show you that like, no, man, things are going to change a lot. And even though these aren't the team fits, if we just pretend that they were the team fits, you can just, and look, the team fits are going to come as surprises to you the same way that they come as surprises to you with this mock draft. There are going to be certain ones that you're like, oh, okay, well, I always knew Tyler Warren was going to go to the Colts or something, right? I mean, some of them you're going to know. But there, sometimes people land in spots where you're like, oh, my gosh, well, that makes me much more interested in this player. Or, gosh, that makes me a lot less interested in this player. And just so – just a good way to reorient our brain into thinking like, if you're in a pre NFL draft, rookie mock draft, you don't need to be thinking, you know, maybe there are players that when you think about them, they like say like, well, am I so sure about taking this guy right here? Because what if he goes to a situation like this and all of a sudden, next thing you know, instead of taking him at the 107, I'm not even wanting to take him at the 205. So we're going to be doing that. And what we did is we took the Mel Kiper mock and had his landing spots, but just to add a little bit into it, I went into the Athletics mock too and took all their third round guys or guys who were taken in the second round who Kiper didn't have. The only guy who was sort of a duplicate who I couldn't use again was Dylan Sampson. He was in the Athletic mock draft going in the second round. Kiper did not have him going, but The Athletic had him going to Kansas City in the same spot that Mel Kiper had
That makes sense.
Right. Had Caleb Johnson going to Kansas City. So I left him off the list for the purposes of our mock. So Dylan Sampson would have been a dude who would have been like the seventh. But still, only seven of these running backs to me seems a little bit low. And what you're saying is you're not necessarily going to be readjusting how you think the draft capital is going to go for these players pre NFL draft. We're just sticking to it. Like it's going to be it's going to be double digits.
Yeah. Well, double digit running backs you're saying in the first three rounds.
Yes. That's been my supposition.
If you put this number at 9.5 in the, so it's top 100 picks, it's 101 picks. If you put this number and you said Cody, this number is 9.5, I would say Genty, Hampton, Henderson, Judkins, Caleb Johnson from Iowa. I would say Harvey goes from UCF, Scadaboo from Arizona State, Tutin from Tech, Sampson from Tennessee. I think I would take the under.
At 9, exactly.
Because I can't tell you who the other guy is. I can't tell you if that's going to be – if somebody's going to love ETN or Damian Martinez. I know Jaden Blue went in this mock. Jarquez Hunter. Like, I think I would take – I'd take the under. Because even the names I just listed, Sampson and Tutin, I don't feel that great about.
Going in the top three rounds.
Correct. So I think I would take the less on 9.5.
All right. Fair enough. Well, as far as Mel Kiper's actual mock – What kind of stood out to you? It's chalk right up here at the very top. Cam Ward now is like minus. Well, I was
20,000, I think.
It's not even worth. I didn't know if it was minus 2,000, minus 20,000, whatever it is. It's not worth it. I do think that what's starting to become more evident, and we're seeing it in mock after mock, is, you know, Travis Hunter to Cleveland, steam, of course. Next, we have Abdul Carter coming off the board to the Giants. And then more of this steam with the Will Campbell stuff to the New England Patriots. I thought it was interesting, Cody, today when I was looking at Dane Brugler's draft guide, The Beast, it dropped today over on The Athletic. And I think some of what he's done is cockamamie with these tackles and guards.
Thank you.
Because he's basically so he still has Will Campbell number one. He's not coming off of it. He's saying he doesn't care about the length, all the rest of this. Fine. It's fine with me. How you list Donovan Jackson as a tackle and not a guard, and you list Kelvin Banks as a guard and not a tackle, citing your length concerns for Kelvin Banks, to me it just makes no sense. I don't understand what he's doing.
It shows a length-based analysis is what it does, because Donovan Jackson's got good length, arm length. Again, the thing is, if you pull up his beast and you look at, like, you can go sort the whole thing by positions and all this other crap. But even in the positional thing, you can see wingspan for all these tackles, 77, 82, 82, 82, 81, 83, 82, 82. And then you can go to guard. And what you can see is he's got Kelvin Banks listed as a guard, and it's Tyler Booker, 84, Kelvin Banks, 84. And these are wingspans. Both guys have longer wingspans than any of the top 10 tackles. Right. And I get the arm length thing, 33 and a half inches. But I want to say he had in here, he put Will Campbell right at 33, which is controversial because, like, I'm listening to, like, Lance Zierlein was talking about the other day, and he's like, he's sub 33. And the weird thing is that there's this like dynamic where I guess there was north of 20 offensive linemen that got measured, either at the combine and pro day or combine and senior bowl, and the measurements were all haywire.
Yeah, well, right. But the way that I was brought up in this is no retakes on your measurements after the combine.
That's yes.
Like, you're allowed to have a retake from the All-Star game to the combine. But after that, you can't have a retake at pro day.
Yes.
Especially with something like arm length.
So, and especially when it's like 32 and whatever it was, and now it's like, he's 33, which is like known as like the threshold that these teams want.
Yeah.
And it's like, all right, so we're just going to, okay. So I get when people say, like, you know, Campbell's the most athletic. He's probably got the best chance of, you know, hitting at the tackle position. I can understand that. I can see their point of view there, but I wouldn't even call it slander towards Banks, but I would just say the slander towards the situation makes no sense to me, because it was – you remember it vividly, man. Going into the combine, it was like, you know, we're worried about Campbell and Banks and the arm length. And then Banks comes through 7 inches longer in wingspan. 7 inches. Seven.
Yeah.
And you don't hear anything. All of a sudden, the Banks length stuff is gone, except for Dane, who moves him to guard. And then with Will Campbell, everyone's worried, but then people still keep him at tackle, even though we were told by him that the NFL teams, there's over a half dozen teams that look at him as guard, and we've heard it from other people that there's more teams looking at him as guard than not, even than Banks too. So the whole thing is just ridiculous to me. But yeah, I thought that was the first thing that popped off the beast as well to me.
Yeah, but so, yeah, chalk there for the first four. I'm becoming more comfortable with the idea that Vrabel, you know, Elliott Wolf, these guys are going to take Will Campbell if things fall like this. And I'm becoming more and more confident they're going to fall like this. I don't think that, just, you know, the way that putting these mock drafts together goes, Cody, and whenever you're doing one, I used to have to do them all the time, right? And whenever you're doing one, and you got to start over, there's no bigger pain, because everything changes after one switch at once. It isn't like you can just switch one guy, and because the next guy will change, and who's available here changes, and all the rest, right? So I don't think that with Shedeur Sanders, I believe that Kiper has him going at 9 to the Saints.
Yep.
I don't think he had to have started writing this thing last week. This is a lot of writing, right? And a lot of thought, stuff putting together. At that point in time, we didn't have, like, the first lines that I saw with all these players as far as draft position started to come out Sunday night, Monday morning. And I don't think that he picked this just because Shedeur Sanders is now sitting at 8.5 in the markets. But the fact that he is at 8.5 in the markets right now, people are starting to talk about him going at 9. I'm kind of starting to think that that's what the Saints do.
It would make the most sense. The odds currently as we sit to teams to draft Shedeur Sanders, Saints plus 270, Giants plus 420, Steelers plus 450. And then it's a little bit of a drop off down to the Jets, Browns, and then the Rams as the long shot that they're giving you. So the Saints feel like they make the most sense. That's the one situation that we have heard. Again, we had heard a couple weeks ago about the potential of them letting Derek Carr walk here in like at post June 1 cut type of a situation. We also know that that team and where they currently sit has been in cap hell for the last 3 years. And what's one of the best ways to get out of cap hell? Get off of a quarterback that's getting paid a lot of money and go to a rookie. And that's an avenue. That's an avenue right there. And I think it makes a lot of sense. And it, you know what? As stupid as it sounds, I think he would look good in a Saints jersey.
Yeah. And, you know, Coach Prime isn't being picky about landing spots anymore either. Now that it's looking like he's not going to go here right at the very, he's just like, whoever wants to take him can take him. I feel like the Saints organization might've been one. If he would have kept up his ascension through the process, he'd have been like, nah, man, he's not going there. I think right now it's like whoever wants him is going to be able to go get him.
Do you think Jacksonville at 5 might be able to convince New Orleans to come up to get ahead of the Raiders and the Jets and anybody else that may be trying to trade in? Because the only reason I asked that question is only because, again, we're looking at the mock draft, and you know who he put to the Jaguars is the one that everybody's put there is Mason Graham. Mm-hmm. And I love that, and I agree with it. But my question why I'm asking this is it's the same theory behind the J.J. McCarthy thing last year with the Vikings, right? It's like, will the Vikings go up to get J.J. or will they sit back and get J.J.? Would the Saints historically, if you look at the trends,
they love trading up.
They move all the time, up, down, doesn't matter. Like, I think the trend that I had collected was they've traded up in round one 6 times from 2014 to 2024. They did it with Brian Bursay in 2023, Olave the year before that. They moved up 5 spots. Only 3 times they have not. So yeah. I think when you look at them, it's like, all right, well, would you move up to 5? And if you're the Jaguars, would you move down to 9? And do you think Graham will still be there?
I'm not sure that Graham would still be there. And I think that, I don't know.
Panthers at 8 would be my.
Oh, yeah. Good luck. Good luck with that.
So then the Jalen Walker thing opens up for the Jags, then, right?
Yeah. Well, then they would get Jalen Walker. But I think the Gladstone's like, man, I care a lot more about getting my Aaron Donald.
Right, but if they're in the same bucket, right, this is where that bucket or tier conversation comes into place. If they're in the same bucket and you have a trade out there to move down 4 spots, you get to add a pick, you know, a second-round pick or a pick next year or something, and you go, well, we know this guy's going to be here. We know one of these 2 guys will be here at 9.
You think that it's all right. Well, okay, so you don't know it. I mean, we don't know. So this one goes Jinty to the Raiders. So after that, it goes Jinty to the Raiders, Mimbu to the Jets. Very chalk. This is all stuff that we see in all these right now.
Yep.
I don't know whether it's like I'm just a prisoner of the moment and like I've been brainwashed. But I kind of think it's how it's going to go. But I don't know if that's just me really thinking it's how it's going to go or me just getting used to keeping on seeing these names to go into these landing spots. It could all be so wrong. But I kind of think that that's how it's going to happen. Right?
Yeah.
I've come around. I know that you say that Jinty can't go to the Raiders.
I didn't say he can't. I think it's bad.
No, but you've cited
By Tech and Carroll, yes, the history of them. But again, the history is they have the Rashad Penny thing on their side.
Right. If I I think Jalen Walker is such a good player. I think that they could – I mean, it's the Raiders probably – I don't know. The Jets could – the Jets need to go offensive tackle. Yeah, so I think the Carolina – you would know the Carolina at that point would take either – I've thought Jalen Walker is just the lock to Carolina this whole time. But you do –
And the weird thing is that the Panther fans will disagree. I've done these seven round team by team mocks on the Draft Ranking Show every day, and the Raider fans absolutely hate Membu. None of them want Membu, and then the Panther fans are like, Jalen Walker doesn't fit our defense. That's all the comments I get. I'm like, well,
I know from a Carolina player that this player thinks that they're taking an edge rusher there. I'm just like. And I think that's I think it's going to be Jalen Walker. But I do think that if it was a Mason Graham, it would be hard to pass on. I guess I agree with you. They're probably in the same bucket. I think the Jags I really do think that the landing spot with the Jags is really good for Mason Graham, though. It makes a lot of sense on both sides. Yeah. So anything that you thought – so they had Ginty going there, Omarion Hampton to Dallas – Matthew Golden in this one, the first wide receiver off the board. Unless you count Travis Hunter, right? Because Travis Hunter went to Cleveland, as we talked about. Matthew Golden to Arizona as the first wide receiver off the board. Did any of this stuff kind of stick out to you? I always hate the Tyler Warren to Chicago mocks, but this was one of them.
I don't want to tap myself on the back or anything, but I was pretty ecstatic to see Matthew Golden to the Cardinals because I had not seen a single person do that. I did it last week and I was like, I really love this fit. And I think we talked about it. And I think I talked about it on a different show with somebody and they're like, that's stupid.
You love the fit for fantasy or for real football?
Real life football. I think just like when you're building a team and you look at what they have and they haven't really like went out and been like aggressive with receiver. Like they have Michael Wilson and Dortch, but they went out and like signed Zay Jones. Right. And that's a typical number 5-6 right now on a roster. I feel like there's a wide open two spot there. And I know they have Trey McBride, but he's not a receiver. Obviously, he's a tight end. He's a target hog, but I feel like a Golden is a great complement to a Marvin Harrison Jr. So I love the Arizona landing spot for football purposes. For fantasy, you probably don't ever get the ceiling out of him. You probably get these 700 to 900 yard seasons. I'm not sure if you can bet on a 1,000 yard season from Golden if injuries don't occur in that passing game.
And I think that's mainly more due to McBride than it is.
That's what I'm saying. Like he's just the third option.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Other things that sort of stood out to me. I'm not sure how much I would love Ted McMillan going to the Broncos.
He's the future Sutton, right? So they let Sutton go after this year, maybe. And then he's the future there.
Right. Have we heard any news about where they are with that or what that situation just looks like?
For what, Sutton's contract?
Yeah, just any new, like, anything new with him.
I think he'd be a UDFA next year.
Yeah, but weren't they – there were talks for a while there about him possibly – about them possibly extending him. I'm looking it up right now. So yeah,
I mean he's going to be a 30 a year from now when free agency opens. And the one thing we have heard the last 2 years with the Judy stuff was that they're trying to trade him. It's like if you drafted a Ted McMillan, I think it'd be
that narrative. Don't you remember that there was a narrative for a while where that kind of changed relatively recently where they were acting like they liked him.
Of course it was.
Well, okay. So
yeah, I'm just saying, if it leaks out,
right? If it were to happen, you'd think to yourself, Sutton's gone after this season.
Toasty, yeah.
Yeah.
And McMillan in an avenue that I would love for McMillan would be in Michael Thomas. I mean, a Michael Thomas role would be epic.
Oh, for sure, man. As far as any of these others, I think that. With this one, we're starting to see more of the Josh Connerly beginning to creep into the first rounds of these drafts. I've been noticing that a whole lot. I think that that's one of the kind of, you know, the draft is a flat circle stuff with just people coming back around on that guy. Early in the second round, I thought it was interesting. Both of these mocks, both the Athletic and Mel Kiper, both had Tyler Shuck going to Cleveland with that – sort of that first pick of the second round that, you know,
I think that's wrong.
Super famous kind of pick there where people like to trade up to get their quarterbacks and stuff like that after having the first night over.
I think that's bad. We talked about it the other day, but like it's everything. And again, I'm just basing this off of Todd McShay talking, but when McShay talks about Shook, I listen, and he's been talking about Shook and a lot of other teams. And when he talks about the Browns, it's like, it's not, it doesn't seem like it's very interesting or that the Browns are very interested in him. So I think if one of those two happened, it would be kind of the inverse. It would be, I don't even know if Shook would be a Giant, but Milroe would be a Brown. That's kind of where my brain went.
Okay.
What about Dart? Dart went to the Rams at the end of the first there.
I think that it's
it's pretty. I love that.
With
McVay. I mean, in LA. Come on.
Yeah. No. Look. If we're worried about him, so that happens at pick number 26, right? And if we're worried about Jackson. I think it's about as good as it can come for Jackson Dart, right? I would be super worried about him going to, say, you know, Pittsburgh and them having to sort of deal with the situation that could become like a Kenny Pickett type of situation where he's thrust into the system. It's not a, you know, not a super dynamic or young or bright-minded quarterback's coach. Not somebody that's shown that he can connect with these guys and really develop them and stuff. And like, we know that that's the way McVay is. It like he sprinkled some magic dust on Baker Mayfield there for like 2 weeks. And I know we can't give him credit for, everything that Baker Mayfield's done since then. But there's something, it's like O'Connell too. It's like you go visit those guys and we'll see how it goes this year with Daniel Jones getting to spend, you know, have a cup of coffee there, whether that helps him at all in Indy. But I felt that there was some kind of similar thing that happened with Mayfield. And when we talk about Jackson Dart and our worries that he could be a little bit of a system quarterback coming from playing with Kiffin and he was propped up by a system, it's the perfect place to go if you want to be propped up by a system. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think if you like Jackson Dart, you're going to get the best out of him there.
What did you think of the Jaden Higgins staying in the NFC West? He goes 52nd overall to the Seahawks.
You know, I didn't necessarily hate it. I think it's fine. I thought it was interesting after I saw that. I'm like, well, obviously he wouldn't be playing in the slot. You know, I went back and looked up his slot rates when I saw this from college, and last year he was like a 30-something percent slot guy, so predominantly on the outside, as you would expect. That's how we project him to play X. And if they really are talking about playing Cooper Kupp on the outside and, you know, more JSN in the slot, I think that would be – I think he'd be a good addition, man. I think it's fine. I'm not sure how excited it really makes me on a team that I think is probably going to – you know, if you listen to Mike McDonald, the team's going to be trying to run the football a good bit more next season.
It's fair.
What any other ones you want to talk about before we get into this mock draft using these new landing spots? We can go over where all of them are as far as the fantasy players and just
we can get into this mock. The basic Packer pick here in the second round, Jack Bechtel from TCU, the Jordy Nelson decade later pick selection here.
Well, yeah, I mean you've already foreshadowed one of the guys that I love that one. All right, so here's where these guys all got sent. Again, this is mainly with Mel Kiper's mock, but also I added in some kind of third roundish players from the Athletics mock. We have Ashton Jeanty, so running backs. Ashton Jeanty goes to the Raiders. Omarion Hampton goes to the Cowboys. Travion Henderson goes to the Bears. Quinshon Judkins goes to the Broncos. Caleb Johnson goes to the Chiefs. Jaden Blue goes to the Browns. Wide receivers, Travis Hunter to the Browns. Matthew Golden to Arizona. Tet McMillan to the Broncos. Emeka Egbuka to the Jaguars. Luther Burden to the Patriots, Jaden Higgins to Seattle, Jack Besh to the Packers, Isaiah Bond to the Panthers, Jalen Noel to the Texans, Trey Harris to the Raiders, Jalen Royals to the Jets, Kyle Williams to the Cowboys, Elik Iamanar to the Patriots, Ty Felton to Houston, Savion Williams to the Rams. As far as the quarterbacks, of course, Cam Ward to Tennessee, Shedeur Sanders to the Saints, Jackson Dart to the Rams, Tyler Shuck to Cleveland, and Jalen Milroe to the Giants. Tight end, we have Tyler Warren to Chicago, Colston Loveland to Indy, Elijah Arroyo to the New York Jets, Mason Taylor to the Chargers, and Terrence Ferguson to Denver. We now are going to do a super flex tight end premium rookie mock. This is like 31 players, so we'll get through like halfway through the third round. Do you want to start?
Let's do it. All right, pick one. Super flex tight end premium. All right, so my quarterback.
And we got to take Dylan Sampson off for KC, right? Or are we going to say that Caleb Johnson and Dylan Sampson both got drafted by the Chiefs?
That sounds terrible. Let's not do that.
Okay.
I'd rather not have to explain that to myself. 101 super flex tight end premium. I feel like I just got to stay with Genty. I'm just going to go Genty here. Top 10 pick. It's hard to make another.
Yeah. Okay.
Not much needs to be said.
Yeah. Second pick. I'll go. It's super flex. I mean, it's super flex. I'm going Cam Ward.
All right.
Yeah. All right. You're up.
All right. 103. We got the Saints landing spot for Shedeur. The Rams for Dart. I think I have to wait a year for Dart. Shedeur, probably going to have to wait a little bit. Omarion Hampton is a hammer landing spot here in Dallas. He overtakes that backfield within, you know, during training camp, if not within the first 2 weeks, when we hear that he's got the most juice in that backfield. Omarion Hampton, Dallas Cowboys, 103.
104 is a cinch. It's Travion Henderson in Chicago to be the new Jahmyr Gibbs for Ben Johnson.
Even though I don't love the, I don't love that. I wish it was like a Caleb Johnson or something. I still think that's fair. I think Teddarrell McMillan's interesting in Denver, but with Sutton still there, I'm gonna surpass on that. I'm gonna go Judkins. I'm gonna keep cleaning house at running back. Judkins in Denver, the clear number one second round draft capital. I think it was 51st overall. Quinshon Judkins to the Broncos.
This is where things change, man, because even though Shedeur Sanders gets into a spot where you think that it's going to be probably playing this year. He's probably playing this year, and it could be post June 1. We could see Derek Carr somewhere else. So
super flex.
With that said, though, Caleb Johnson going to Kansas City, you got to be kidding me. It's like that's a lock right here.
I think that's fair. I love the fit. I don't love the situation.
The situation is about as fine as it could get, dude. He's so much better than
that. I mean, I don't know if that's true, but I don't think he buries Pacheco. I don't think he buries.
Oh, Caleb Johnson is such a better pure.
He'll bury Kareem Hunt, but I don't think he can bury Pacheco.
I'd say the chances of. I mean, I don't think this happens. Kareem Hunt's not even on the roster.
Correct. That's what I'm saying. He can bury him.
Yeah.
107. Give me the top 10 tight end. Tyler Warren, Chicago.
This goes to show you, man, like things don't need to go too sideways with this is, to me, is going because Matthew Golden to Arizona, it's a good football fit. I don't know how much I like it for fantasy.
It sucks.
Like things can go sideways with these landing spots. They really can. That like cuz right here, dude, tight end premium, I don't know if I'm going I'm going to go with the talent. I'm not going to worry about the quarterback situation. Give me Colston Loveland here and tight end premium.
That's putrid. That is putrid.
Why?
109.
Just Anthony, just get it close to Colston. He's going to catch it. I think even Anthony Richardson can just get it close to the guy.
Yeah. RIP Josh Downs, RIP Michael Pittman, Adonai Mitchell. Like, how about we just get a quarterback there before we start adding all these weapons? We're just wasting the careers of so many weapons. In this mock, if you look at it for what it is, Tyler Shook ends up in Cleveland.
He's probably going to play,
assuming they don't get Kirk. If they get Kirk, Travis Hunter is the best receiver in this football team. I'm taking him here at the 109. Probably the earliest you'll see me take him. I like some other landing spots here. And Superflex 10 and Premium, I think you can convince yourself to take either of these quarterbacks, Sanders or Dart, right here. But I'm going to take Hunter because I think he's the top talent in the class, period. And he's going to play receiver in Cleveland. They have some good corners. He'll play corner, but I think he plays a lot of offense. And he's going to have to play a lot of offense because this team kind of stinks from a talent perspective in the weapon room. So Travis Hunter, 109 to the Browns.
And if this happened and we had the first – and we had the – we had, Andrew Berry come out – at his post draft night one thing, and he said, Travis Hunter's are going to be our wide receiver. That would have made it like I would have taken him over. I think that projects him into like the top five.
I'd take him over Caleb, but I don't know if I go any further than that.
I take him over Caleb, and I start thinking, do I take him over Quinshon? But so it's like right around there, 105, 106. The next one for me, I think I like the landing spot for Tet better than I do for Golden, man. I'm going to take Tet McMillan here.
100%. Because like we said earlier with the Golden landing spot, it's great for football, but I'm not sure he ever has – 1,000-yard season, if not for injuries in that room. So not that room, but, either that room or tight end in Arizona specifically. 111, I'm going to take Shador. Superflex, I'm going to take Shador. He's got Chris Olave down there. I think they add some more weaponry as time goes by. In Superflex, it's the 11th pick overall for typically in Superflex, your quarterback number two in the class is going to be a top five pick. So I'm going to go Shador here at 111.
I think this is where I go again with talent. I don't love the situation, but I'm going to take Matthew Golden. Matthew Golden going to the Arizona Cardinals here to round out the first round.
You're pretty bad at these, but I'm just kidding. I'm teasing. Recap first round, Ashton Jeanty, Cam Ward, Marian Hampton, Travion Henderson, Quinshon Judkins, Caleb Johnson at 6. Tyler Warren goes 7, followed by Colston Loveland to the Colts, Travis Hunter, Tet McMillan goes 10th overall as a Bronco, Shador at 11, and Matthew Golden at 12. The 201 on Team A that has Ashton Jeanty already in Superflex. You got the premium there. I'm not going to touch the tight ends yet. It's a bad team. I'm assuming this is a bad team, and I don't think I can compete on day one just because of Jeanty. So in Superflex, I'm going to take Dart. I'm going to take Dart with the Rams because I don't think McVay – I know he teased like retirement the last couple of years. I think if McVay gets a guy like Dart in the first round, it tells us that he's planning to be here for as long as Dart works. Dart sits behind Stafford for a year, and he takes over next year full reigns with Puka. I like this offense here with Dart. I think Dart McVay is very much like Dart Kiffin in college.
Next one for me is Emeka Egbuka, who goes to Jacksonville. Just see him as a Christian Kirk replacement there. I feel like that's a very safe pick. He's a good player. It's a good quarterback, an improving coach situation. I think that Egbuka, I probably should have taken him over Golden there at 12.
I think I would prefer Buka over Golden. Rest in peace to my Parker Washington dynasty.
Certainly rest in peace.
deep shares of wish casting opportunity. 203, we got Amarian Tampton on this team. I'm going to take Luther Burden, who gets second round draft capital. He's going to be inside of Stephon Diggs this year in New England, and he's attached to Drake May for the foreseeable future.
This feels gross, man. But dude, here we go. Superflex. And don't give me Shuck, dude. Give me Jalen Milroe. Give me the upside. Give me the upside. How long is that situation sustainable with the Giants? You draft Milroe, he's gonna start next year. They're gonna give him a chance.
Wait. Okay, time up. He's gonna start when?
At some point in 2026.
Because the team's yeah. 26. Okay, 26.
Yeah, they're going to – not this upcoming. Okay. I didn't mean this season. I meant, you know, gotcha. at some point he gets a chance. And if he's able to capitalize on it, you will have struck gold just with his athletic and rushing upside.
All right. 205. I feel like this is a good spot. You know what? No. So the Jets get Elijah Arroyo and Jalen Royals here. They have Garrett Wilson. Last year took Malachi Corley in the second and from Western Kentucky. I'm not going to take Royals. I'm going to take Elijah Arroyo in tight end premium here at the 2-5.
Makes sense. Mason Taylor wouldn't have been a terrible pick there too. I mean, we knew that the Chargers had to address tight end. I think I like Mason Taylor as a Charger more than I like Arroyo as a Jet. Do I?
I mean, Arroyo to me is like the number two in that offense after Garrett.
Yeah,
Wood.
Yeah.
Attached to Justin Fields, who, you know, I don't think he's going to exactly push the ball.
Give me Mason Taylor. Give me all the NFL bloodlines. Give me the great landing situation there. I'll go with Mason Taylor and tight end premium.
All right. So back to back tight ends in first round at pick 7 and 8, and back to back tight ends here in the second round at pick 5 and 6. Pick 207. I have Tyler Warren on this roster. He's a bear. I don't really like picking here, man. I'll be honest with you. I don't love Trey Harris probably with the Raiders.
Yeah.
They have Genty. They have Bowers. Trey Harris probably. That's right. I'm going to go Trey Harris from Ole Miss with the Raiders here. Second round draft capital. I'm not sure he gets second round draft capital, but if he does and it's the Raiders, I like that attached to Geno Smith.
give me Jaden Blue. I mean, it's wide open depth chart. I'm not thrilled about any of these receivers right here. I'm not thrilled about Shuck or Ferguson. I was just like, give me Blue, man. He's fast as can be. Good. He can catch. Just if he gets his fumbles under control at the NFL level, he's going to play. He got day two draft capital.
All right. 2-9. Team I have Travis Hunter. Do I take Shook and get the stack here?
Technically, it would be, I guess, right?
Technically, it would be. So it's basically, do I take the projected quarterback, I don't even know, at some point in Cleveland, or to me, the best talent / landing spot here. If Dallas only picks Kyle Williams to this point, I kind of like that. From Washington State, I don't like Carolina picking Isaiah Bond. Bash in Green Bay is just a mid pick. I still think Wicks is better. Higgins is competing with a lot of people.
You think Wicks is better? No, dude.
Wicks is better than Bash.
No, he's not. Bash is. That's just bad.
You liked Wicks. Don't tell me you like Besh better. I know you like Wicks as a prospect better.
No, I did not like Wicks as a prospect better.
Yes, what?
I didn't. I had major issues with Wicks, but from his 2021 to the 2022 season.
Yes, but if the thing was, if we saw what we saw in the 2021 season, we're going to be happy with it. We heard stuff behind the scenes
I can look back. I'll bet you I have Besh ranked higher in this class than I had Wicks ranked in that class.
Well, that's an arbitrary bad comparison because the classes are different. But I from what you've spoken on shows, you spoke higher of Wicks. I'll just put it that way. All right. 2-9. I'm going Shook. Cleveland Browns, Shook. So that's now the third Cleveland Brown in the first 21 picks.
Give me Jalen Noel.
Even though he's competing with Christian Kirk?
I didn't think of that specific thing, but it's true. I was just thinking, no Tank Dell, no Stephon Diggs. You know, give me Noel. He'll be fine. Right. He'll fit in fine.
Staying in the state of Texas, I'm going to take Kyle Williams in that spot. He's going to be able to play inside of Lamb. They bounce Lamb outside. I think he's going to be the second best receiver in the roster on day one.
Let me go with Jaden Higgins. He's been, you know, just the Iowa State guys always seem to end up kind of bunched together here. They've both been terrific through the process, both great players. And I think that the landing spot for Higgins, while it's clearly not ideal from a projected, you know, target monster standpoint, big red zone weapon. Who knows how long Cooper Kupp's going to be there.
All right, we'll finish up strong here through the first half of the third round. I'll take Jack Best just to snipe you because I know that's your next pick here at pick 25 to the Packers.
I don't like any of the rest of these guys. Give me Savion Williams and just hope they turn him into some kind of running back.
All right, I'll take Jalen Royals, my guy from the Jets. I know I picked Arroyo earlier because I think he's going to be a better target in the offense, but I think Royals can carve something out ahead of Malachi Corley.
Is it Bond? It's probably Bond, right? How old is Thielen? He's 35.
It's kind of a cool landing spot. I mean, this is like we talked about the other day, if Carolina gets a receiver, like this is the type of a guy that has upside to become, you know,
the thing. Yeah, yeah, he's fast. He's got the juice. Gets to reunite with Jatavion Sanders, another guy from Texas who may have had work ethic issues.
All right, I'll take at the 305, Terrence Ferguson from Oregon goes to Denver to back up Evan Engram for 1 year.
Now I'm going to take Ian Manor.
And then that gives me Ty Felton at pick 31.
Ty Felton is Mr. Irrelevant. What do you think the best – Cody, we'll get out on this one. As you look at this whole thing, Dynasty, Rookie Draft, Super Flex. Who is the player in this one that got hurt the most by their landing spot, and who's the player that got helped the most?
I mean, Elik Iomanner falling all the way down here to the 306 here. That's a pretty big fall. In New England being the second receiver they took, kind of similar to the Polk-Javon Baker situation last year. But the guy that gained the most, and we still didn't respect it, was Isaiah Bond going to Carolina. He has the ability to take over that backfield, take over that receiving room, and be a true alpha at the next level.
Why is life better with American Family Insurance? Because every policy comes with something very special. A trusted agent who's there to help protect your dreams by finding the right coverage at the right price. Save up to 23% when you bundle home and auto. American Family Insurance. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.